Está Sanya Bharata Takasmalam. Please jump. Kane, when fully discharged, Ritasi, the semen, Saha, Lord Shiva, Apasyat, so, Atmanam, his own self, Deva Mayaya, by the Maya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jadi Kritam had become victimized as a fool. Nripasresta, O best of kings, Maharaj Parikshit, Sanyabhartata, restraining himself further. Kasmalat, from illusion. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. O Maharaj Parikshit, best of kings, when Lord Shiva has fully discharged semen, he could see how himself had been victimized by the illusion created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus he restrained himself from any further maya. Purport. Once one is agitated by lusty desire upon seeing a woman, those desires increase more and more. But when semen is discharged in the act of sex, the lusty desires diminish. The same principle acted upon Lord Shiva. He was allured by the beautiful woman Mohini Murti, but when his semen had been fully discharged, he came to his senses and realized how he had been victimized as soon as he saw the woman in the forest. If one is trained to protect his semen by observing celibacy, naturally he is not attracted by the beauty of a woman. If one can remain a brahmachari, he saves himself so much trouble in material existence. Material existence means enjoying the pleasure of sexual intercourse. Jamaitunadi grihamedi shukam. If one is educated about sex life and it is trained to protect his semen, he is safe from the danger of material existence. Skane retasi sopya pasyat atmanandeva mayaya yadi kritan nripasresta sanya bartata kasmalam kasmalat. O Maharaj Parikshit, best of kings, when Lord Shiva has fully discharged semen, He could see how himself had been victimized by the illusion created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, he restrained himself from any further maya. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Satarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyas Chakripa Sindhubhya Eva Chapatitanam Pavane Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So, this Bhagavatam class is not meant to be the Subal Das morning show. It just happened me to be the filler of whoever doesn't is not able circumstantially to give the class. So sorry. Also meaning that not a great deal of time to prepare, but we are basically given the real sexual education. And what is the consequences of not being properly educated, the consequences of being ignorant and not being properly educated is that one is have a great possibility of getting oneself in trouble. Percentage that you get yourself in trouble when one is not educated. So there's a very small chance to be successful, or a lesser, let's not say small, you know, a much lesser chance to be successful in life. So one has to be educated, one has to be trained. We have to understand how things function. Otherwise, if one remains in ignorance, then really one is considered a fool or a person who is not going to have a great deal of success. So, to be educated in sex life means to understand what is the purpose of it and to understand what things to avoid. And the what Prabhupada says here, if one is educated about sex life and is trained to protect his semen, so for human society it is important to have this principle, the principle of celibacy. And that's the proper education, abstinence, and the importance of protecting that substance, semen, is we're very well trained to protect, another substance in our body, which is the blood. People understand that it's a very important substance, and through that substance the life force is able to the body is able to properly function. If you cut the flow of blood in any part of the body, there's damage is going to happen. So it is understood. But there is a very little understanding of this other substance, the semen. And Prabhupada explains that one drop of semen is equal to so many drops of blood. I can't remember the what? Is that right? Yeah, anyway, can't remember, but a lot of blood made a little bit of semen. So the scriptures tell us that the persons who are ignorant about this fact and they discharge the semen in a casual way, they're compared to camels. You know, there's several animals that they compare to an ignorant, materialistic, materially conditioned person. You know, like hogs, dogs, camels is one. And camels are specifically applied because the camel takes pleasure in drinking his own blood. It's such a foolish animal that he's in the desert, and in the desert, the plants that grows in the desert, they don't have much of leaves and things like that, but they have thorns. So he starts to chew those plants, and then he's thinking he's getting some juice out of the plant, but really what he's getting is his own blood. And then he's thinking, oh, this is very tasty. But it's piercing his tongue with all these thorns and drinking his own blood. So that's a camel. So a person who basically takes this with not much understanding and very ignorant of the value of this substance, just casually discharges like that, doesn't protect it, then it's like having pleasure of with his own blood, you know, like draining your own blood and then you find it pleasurable like that. So it's ignorance. So proper sexual education is understanding the principle of celibacy, abstinence. Now, just right now in the, you know, while you were chanting your kirtan, I was just doing a quick research because this is a very hot issue in modern society, to give children sexual education. So you have two big opposite views, a liberal view and a traditional sort of the conservative view, a liberal and conservative view. The conservative view is more in line with, you know, religious teachings, which this is universally accepted abstinence in religious teaching. So sex life is meant when you are married. So to have sex outside marriage is really in from the perspective of conservative perspective of religious principles, universally is not accepted and encouraged. So you teach abstinence to your children, and so that's a traditional conservative way. And so they have been a lot of resources invested in trying to teach the children this education of abstinence, celibacy. And then there's a liberal that explains that, you know, you have to have a much more complete, balanced approach to sexuality. That sexuality is something that is natural, it's a human, you know, need, which, you know, is true. It's one of the four human needs, or actually, you know, material body needs. They see it as a natural occurrence. So you cannot be so you know, you have to have a balanced arrangement so children understand. So that's their approach is, okay, not only abstinence, but you also have to educate them how to properly engage in sexual activities without in a healthy way. So, and their argument is abstinence alone is failing society. This type of education is creating more problem. So they have done some studies, and it says that this, apparently here in America, is the, of the developed countries in the world, this is a country that have the biggest rate of teenage pregnancy and a sexually transmitted disease on teens, the biggest in the world of all the you know, developed countries. So this, they say, the studies that they made say that this abstinence only sexual education has failed, because when you analyze, you can compare the result of the two people who are applying this liberal sexual education things, you know, with, and the sexual education is far out. It goes from K to 12. So they take the little guys, babies, and they start to, you know, have a curriculum of sexual education. So, you know, some of the things that they discuss with the little guys, you know, 5 years old, is like to understand that to be able to name the part, the female parts and the male parts and this and that. So they are already starting to get acquainted with all the stuff. When that's the last thing that children at that age, you know, is actually, you know, thinking. They just see, you know, a playmate, you know, everybody's equal, you know, like that. So they discover that children that are given this so-called more balanced education, 50%, there is a 15% increase in teenage pregnancy on the ones who are being educated only with abstinence. It's a 50% increase. So actually, the comparison is, you know, this one works better for society. The liberal approach works better for society than abstinence. Of course, conservatives, they don't know what to do with that, you know. And they stand in their grounds, but the fact is that there is not much success on the whole thing. So what's the problem? Because we also, yes, I know the problem. Yeah, it's obvious. The problem is obvious. They don't give an alternative. Because the education that we receive is not just being celibate. The education that we, this is, you give, you know, a positive engagement to the senses. So you don't take something away without replacing it from something. We got the param drishta nivartante, the something higher. The Prabhupada says, you know, how you know, a child is playing with something, how you take the child, you know, okay, he takes a knife, you know, if you freak out when you go, stop, you know, the child gets scared and may cut himself. You know, you say, oh, here's a rasagula. And then he gets, you know, like that. So a golobjaman, you know, so something higher, something that is better for, you know, you replace it. And so that's a problem that modern society that is ignorant to the proper education, because the education of celibacy is this tapodivian that we were discussing the other day. It's divine penance, but it's a process in which you practice engaging your senses in the service of the master of the senses. So as far as sex education, then part of the brahmachari training is not only understanding physiologically how important this substance is actually for bringing up all the different qualities and how would you say, the qualities that are, you know, to be developed, the character that is to be developed to be a very strong success, you know, have the skills and the qualities to be successful, you know, in the goal of life. Determination, strength, health, religiosity, etc., cleanliness, so many things, you know, to be able to develop the moral goodness and to be very progressive. These are all things that are more or less based on these practices of tapodivium. So once understand how important it is to protect this substance, you know, the semen, and how it nourishes the fine tissue, the brain, how it brings up, you know, it comes up to the brain, and anyway, the whole thing is explained, and also, so that's the physiological part. Then there is the social, you know, the behavior part, how one should see the opposite sex, you know, for the man. One sees every woman as mother, so therefore one address the ladies as matajis. That principle is there. The verse that Krishna Archana quoted yesterday, in terms of being very conscientious about association with the opposite sex, to the point of even with your mothers and daughters, you know, like that, you have to be mindful. And the most important part, that sex life is meant for procreation. So throughout your life, one have to practice celibacy. Therefore, grihastas are called grihastha brahmacharis, because within the grihastha, you also actually practice in celibacy and trying to strengthen this cultivation, focus on, for the man, in protecting the semen. So this is something that is a very impronto principle for society, and is part of one of the important goals of the Krishna conscious movements. Once we're able to establish Vanashram Dharma, this education, you know, proper education for our children, for society, in how to live one's life in a righteous, religious, progressive manner. And this is a very important part. For modern society, there is a mess. The whole thing is they can't get a solution. They try this, they try that, and one is worse than the other, because it's not becoming better, it's becoming worse. And they simply exposing, you know, the solution that they find. Okay, they now just exposing little children to sex life from very small, and they becoming sexually active in an age that they just hardly, you know. The whole thing is pretty disgusting, pretty incredible. And the fact is that it's going worse and worse. So here's the solutions. The solutions that the scriptures give us, that the Srimad Bhagavatam give us, is supposed to finally create a whole revolution in this lost society. So it's part of the task that we have as a movement to actually help society being exposed to these teachings, so they find a solution for all these things. Not being victimized, but being able to understand how this whole thing works. Any comment or questions?
You go first. You go.
Thank you for your class, Prabhu. How are you? Oh. This class is funny. What was I gonna say? Where are my points? That's why I wanted you to go first. Okay, have time to formulate my.
I thought this was a good class. I think it's a very accurate analysis of the way that Western culture is viewing sexuality. And I just had a couple comments I'd like to add to it to further develop it, just because I've also spent some time thinking about this, especially in terms of how the materialistic culture, on the one hand, they're basically encouraging sense gratification. And then at the same time, from the conservative side, they're preaching abstinence, which is, they're just setting these children up for failure. And that's why the liberal side's more successful, because they acknowledge that, yeah, we're preaching sense gratification, and this is how to do it without
unwanted. How to do sense gratification properly.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. How to engage safely in sense gratification.
And then I noticed this other thing in terms of sort of this progressive attitude of society, is that there's a speak of double standards between men and women. So, for instance, if a woman is sexually promiscuous, society commonly has derogatory names for that kind of person. Whereas a sexually promiscuous man, there's no negative connotation toward that. And then the problem they have, the interesting thing though, is the problem they have is that, not that men should also have a negative connotation because they're sexually promiscuous, but women shouldn't. So it goes to show that Western society does not value celibacy in men. And it doesn't actually value the male contribution to procreation. So it's really setting up young men up for failure. I mean, they don't understand the value, like you mentioned many times, the value of semen and the value of cultivating a spiritual life. So I think we're all very fortunate to have come to this movement, just like on a basic human level. This transcendental knowledge is helping us so much. So, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, there is one thing that is true. You remind me that, you know, part of this liberal education, the whole thing is that how to use contraceptives. And they're so adamant about the whole thing that actually they accuse the whatever government or the whatever you know, size of leadership that is just doing abstinence only education. They say they depriving these children of their rights, civil rights, human rights. Is they doing something terrible because they're not providing, you know, also how to properly engage in these things. So therefore, you know, we're gonna teach them how to use a condom and how to use, you know, contraceptives. So you can engage with no consequences, and then can, you know, they can enjoy it. Anyway, they're doing it, so might as well they're doing, you know, in a protective, safe manner. Anyway, it's a mess. And in terms of adults, then you have the priests. The priests have a big, big problem with celibacy and abstinence. There are Catholic priests, and that they're, when they take the to become monks, obviously, you know, they're supposed to be celibate. They're not allowed. You know, they're supposed to have taken a vow of celibacy. Now the problem that they have is that they're failing like anything. They can't hold it. Why they cannot hold it? Well, because they encourage and allow to read the news, watch TV, drink some wine, eat some meat, you know, like that. And especially, so they expose themselves constantly. And at the same time trying to hold, you know, to be celibate, you know, so they can't. You know, you don't give, when we talk about a balance thing, is that, you know, what they don't get, okay, you have the abstinence, but you have to have the positive engagement, how to properly engage the senses. You know, they say the liberals got the idea, okay, not just only abstinence, you have to have, you know, a balance, something that balance, you know, not the don'ts but the do's. You know, the do's that they figured out, oh, sense gratification, you know, so let's how to do sense gratification safely. There's no such a thing of how to do sense gratification safely. Is always going down the, you know, so how to, well, there's a way of doing sense gratification safely. You serve the senses of Rishikesh, and then you automatically becomes gratified like that. So that's the missing part, Krishna, God conscious. So it's quite something, no?
You said you'd turn it on?
So. So, I'm sorry. Obviously, everyone's looking for uninterrupted happiness. That verse in the Bhagavatam, I think it's close to the Tapu Divyam verse where it says, maybe it is the Tapu Divyam verse where it says, one should engage in penance and austerities to attain the divine position of devotional service, etc. Then one can obtain uninterrupted spiritual happiness. So obviously in the material world, we're looking for that uninterrupted happiness in not just sex, but honor. Obviously we can't have uninterrupted, you know, happiness in sex, because in this verse, Shiva discharged semen and then all the happiness was gone. It's not an uninterrupted. And this actually reminded me of one verse from the Bhagavatam when I was reading this past time. I actually wrote it down so you guys can look it up. It's in Canto 6, Chapter 4, Verse 52. It basically mentions that Daksha was given a blessing by the Lord. He performed austerities and he was given a blessing. But it's actually not a blessing that devotees want. Basically, he could discharge uninterrupted semen to for procreation to basically like a fire hose. And this was considered his blessing. He was like geeked. And so, and now this is for the procreation, but you could read Prabhupada's purport of this. This is not actually a desirable because we'll never get out the material world, obviously. So my question is essentially that in reality, we can have so many rules and regulations. And even as devotees, we've been blessed with so many, we've been considered fortunate to have Bhagavatam, the deities, the holy name. Still, you know, we're associating with the material world. And the reality is that nobody's perfect. And so a lot of times we can see that people, it's the same question usually essentially as before, is that people generally have a tendency to let their mind discourage them, to become unenthusiastic. Not only that, is that in this pastime it says Shiva wasn't ashamed in a few verses that he was became illusioned by the Lord's energy. As for us, we become ashamed and unenthusiastic and may even leave Krishna consciousness. So how does one stay enthused to preach Krishna consciousness without becoming discouraged that, like, I'm a hypocrite. Let me just distribute Prabhupada's books and don't say anything about Krishna consciousness since I'm still falling. Let me not read the books, you know. Let me not preach it to anyone because I don't want to be a hypocrite. Let me just distribute them, let Prabhupada do the preaching. And my understanding is that you become purified by preaching and you remain purified by preaching. Shrimvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravanam Kirtana. Only Krishna can purify our heart. We can't purify our heart. So how does one stay enthused to keep preaching without the mind, you know, dragging one down? You're a hypocrite. Don't say nothing. Just, you know, distribute, let Prabhupada do the talking. Don't read the books. You're a hypocrite, you know, et cetera. Because that's what the mind could do to you and become discouraged.
You need to have support. You need to have the support of Guru and Krishna. Is that those who are looking after you and giving you shelter, their support, their kindness, their love is what keeps the whole thing going. And it happens, it's a similar principle that happens with just children and parents. You know, when you have depression, or, you know, you have a much difficult time of dealing with failure, is in general children's, and you know, we take it also as we grow up, our incapacity of dealing with failure is very much connected of you, how you were supported by a loving you know, how you say, caretakers, like that. So when the idea of, you know, so the idea of how to deal with failure, the healthy way of dealing with failure is always, is a very important step for success, because, you know, nothing more educative than failure. And when get that support, that, oh, keep going, to, you know, that type of thing. When we have those caretakers, you know, giving that type of support because of love, then you always, okay, you start again, you fail, you start again. You know, when something very graphic, when you were learning to ride a bicycle or two wheels, how many times, you know, one fail, and then, you know, I remember my father doing that to me, you know. He puts me in there, go ahead, try again, you know, and, you know, and eventually, and when you finally do this little bit and then go like that, it's this big, you know, commotion. And then ones get all like excited, you know, so that type of thing. So then one automatically gets the reaction to failure is like, no, let's do it again. Today is another day, you know. And you keep going, you keep going. You don't get, you try to step out of depression. You don't relate too much to that, you know, because, so the spiritual master does the same thing in the spirit, in our, that's my realization. Because that's what keeps me going. Because I'm very grateful to the kindness that I receive and the support that I receive from my spiritual master, and I know I have that, you know, tangible, and that fits me to keep going, because it's also part of reciprocation. So, you know, you see yourself as obviously when you present yourself to the devotees and the community of devotees, you're trying to be honest. You're not trying to depict yourself as something that you're not, you know. You try to share from, you know, the position that you are, with no, you know, I'm not ashamed of my limitations. They're there, you know. I mean, they're embarrassing, but it's, you know, part of my position right now. And if I'm going to share, I have to share for that. So, and you know, I mean, you know my limitations, you know. And I have no problem in saying I have these limitations. But I have something that gives me hope and keeps me going, and I won't give up. Because I have the support and I have the affection and the love of my Guru Maharaj. So, you know, that keeps it every day alive. So for me is that. For me is that support. And you know, yeah. Not much I can say.
Thank you. If anyone wants to check that Dasha verse, it's 6:452, so you won't think I'm lying. So, Hare Krishna.
Any other question, comments, Krishna Arjuna?
Somewhere in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that you know, if one's trained to maintain celibacy and you know, protect the precious substance, then one isn't attracted to the beauty of a woman. So that obviously is some period of training. So there may be still that attraction that's very much present there to the beauty of the opposite sex if one is in training. Mm. I mean, and the training may be even a lifetime. So perhaps the question that comes is, you know, having some how to have a balanced approach with appreciating beauty of the opposite sex, and if it's there, and also keeping a balance with holding on to the training of celibacy, so that, you know, that subtle balance isn't disrupted.
Yeah, I sort of notice also that part. No, it's just thinking, well, Lord Shiva just got victimized, and Lord Shiva was, you know, I mean, Krishna have to put his whole, you know, transcendental potency to be able to knock down Lord Shiva of his, you know, but just see, even Lord Shiva, and then, you know, the class that you gave yesterday, you know, that, and the fact that Lord Vishnu was, you know, went into the where the sages are. It's like, you know, you're going, this whole thing happened in the men's ashram, you know. It's like there's a brahmachari chanting and then this thing running. It's like there is Lord Shiva going, you know, after Mohini Murti. It's like so, you know, and it's just to teach the sages, like, hey, if this happened to Lord Shiva, don't think you are, you know, sort of, just keep it, you know, understand the power of this illusory energy, you know. So in one sense, it's as long as we are in the fire of this tapo divyam, you sort of protect it. But if you expose yourself, is you okay? I'm all right, I got it, and then, yeah, I can take this. Then you expose yourself, then you're vulnerable. You know, that's how I understand it, and it can happen, you know, to anyone, even in a very high stage of elevation. So one have to be situated in that safe space, and then there's no attraction, you know. At least, you know, you don't have the need and the urge to have to engage like that. And but you have to be careful. That's that famous pastime of Srila Prabhupada. When he was, you know, in a conversation, telling a whole group that that a pure devotee, it cannot be victimized by Maya. It will never fall down. And so, and then, as it comes down to take darshan, he pays obeisances, and the servant notice Prabhupada is praying very, very attentive, doing, you know, a very attentive prayer to the deities. And then the servant asks Prabhupada, "What are you? Can you tell me what you were praying for to the deities?" And Prabhupada say, "To protect me from falling down." And then the disciple asks, "Well, Prabhupada, you just said that a pure devotee never falls down." And then Prabhupada said, "That's why. Because I'm always praying to be protected from falling down." So it's always mindful that, you know, so that's why, to be in that protective space. Okay, yes, Prabhu.
I think that's like a very excellent point, because especially I think in Krishna consciousness, we all have extremely high expectations of ourselves, where perfection is the passing grade. So, and especially, I mean, especially in the very beginning, we have very high, because you can tell by Prabhupada's purports that he's placing a very high expectation on devotees. Especially he uses the word pure devotee. When you read Prabhupada using the words pure devotee, it's almost like a disclaimer, "Oh, not me," right? Like, Krishna protects his pure devotees, and you're like, "Oh yeah, those." And in terms of this, like, on the one hand, we have a very high expectation of ourselves, and on the other hand, we have a realistic understanding of ourselves, of like where we are. And especially like with what Krishna Archamashi brought up, like we do encounter beauty and even like subtle like pride and things like that, they're coming out. And so in Prabhupada speaking of this extreme vigilance even among a pure devotee, but at the same time Prabhupada was able to an exalted devotee, maybe not necessarily like a Shakti Vishap, but even an exalted devotee, they're able to kind of be above it. So for someone who is not above it, this extreme vigilance is appropriate. Like, it's more like, if I'm trying to make it practical, like, by how pure we can estimate like our nature, we can apply vigilance to that degree. So if we feel very disturbed, then extreme vigilance is necessary, right? Even sort of aversion is healthy, right? But over time, maybe naturally, the vigilance is still there, but you know what I'm saying? We don't...
Even over time, I mean, as far as Lord Chaitanya's teaching, Lord Chaitanya gave the example of even in, you know, as a sannyas leader of the Vaishnavas, he will be very strict. He will say, I won't even see a statue of a woman, you know, a wooden statue. He will, you know, avoid that. He will go to the Ganges and jump, you know, like a... he vanished a very beautiful devotee because he spoke. He got sunrise from an elderly Mataji, you know, and because he talked to a woman. I mean, that's Lord Chaitanya was, you know, actually, it's not about, highly vigilant. And that's, you know, in all levels, you know, high, you know, like that. So it's the power of being, understand the power to make a very strong point of understanding the power of the material energy of the Lord. It can victimize anyone, even Lord Shiva. In this case, Lord Shiva was, you know, with the internal potency of the Lord, but, you know, it just, with internal potency, he displays what he does to everybody in the material world, you know, to bewilder Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva went through the whole experience, you know, the whole full experience of losing it completely. Dira, Lord Shiva, the greatest. You know, so it's quite a lesson. It's quite a lesson. It's quite a sovereign lesson, you know. I mean, we see the whole thing with a little amusement of the whole display, but actually it's in the Bhagavatam for a purpose. It's very, very sovereign. And that's, you know, the fact that displaying this whole thing for the sages that were there, you know, and being in the Bhagavatam and have to go to, you know, and Lord Shiva, he's not at the end like Jai Baladev was saying, you know, we will read, he was not ashamed, he was actually very proud of, you know, his the display of potency of the Lord. What an amazing personality and powerful personality my Lord is, you know. So, anyway. All right. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.